Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Go-To Food Podcast. We're delighted to be joined by Aaron Middleton, one of the most followed chefs in the country, 650,000 plus. And I got this wrong with Ben's Vegan Kitchen. Do you remember? I said 400,000. He said you haven't checked that TikTok. So I had a look on TikTok. But Aaron's also worked in some of the best Michelin-starred restaurants in the world. Also been Richard Branson's private chef. I mean, this is just unbelievable. Yeah. And
probably not a hot topic at the minute.
No. Well, it's actually made it hotter for us.
Yeah.
And also made the final three of MasterChef Professionals.
Yeah.
So, mate, thank you so much for coming on. Are you missing the world of Michelin dining? I mean, now you're doing private chefing. You're doing, obviously, an incredible amount of influencing.
Yeah, I don't know if I miss the world of Michelin dining as such, but I do miss the routine. You know, you get up in the morning, you're straight out of work, you've got your mise en place sheet, you've got your section, you've got your little haven, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Your little palace. So I miss that. You know, I miss that sort of regularity.
How brutal was that? Like, you know, we've heard when you were working at Le Coq, which wasn't Michelin star, but was, you know, trying to aspire to get there.
You couldn't win anything.
Mate, it's...
But how brutal in terms of like sleeping, morning routine?
So I started my career as an apprentice for a guy who worked in the 2-star in the 80s and 90s. So he was like Yorkshire man, Stephen Ballmer, turned me from a civilian, so he used to say, into a chef.
Like military language.
Yeah, it was. And he always threatened as being a plumber as the alternative, which I thought it's would probably be quite nice. Yeah.
A lot more money than you would as a chef.
You won't be a chef, mate. You probably should just be a plumber. And I was like, well, fucking, what's plumbers done wrong, mate? You know what I mean? So he took me like into that sort of eye to detail, the cleaning side of things, you know, the organisation, your punctuality, how you turn up, all the rest of it, which is like a big side of being a trusted member, because if you're not a trusted member of the team, then you don't get any space, then you can't really cook, then you just get sent down, and then all of a sudden, do you know what I mean, it's everyone else's fault. So the hours were long, but I think your life sort of turns into the kitchen life turns into your life. Do you know what I mean? So there's no segregation. It's not like I had a long day at work today, it was just today was a long day. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no specific segregation between what you do at home and what you do in the kitchen. Your friends are in the kitchen more often than not. Your partners are in the kitchen, or partner, depending on what sort of whether you're a senior or a senior fee. But I found my partner Gabby in the kitchen. So that life sort of really envelops you.
But did you enjoy like the nights in Chinatown, or is that just a bit? And it's not a theory, is it? Because you said you used to go to Chinatown at like 2 a.m. and eat with the other chefs.
It's probably just because it's close to the Hippodrome.
Yeah.
And the Hippodrome stays open all night. We did that a little bit. I think the Lebri boys used to frequent Paradise more than Chinatown, to be honest.
Paradise is in up in.
Literally just next door.
Oh, here, right,
Just okay, not stays the one up until ridiculous Kensal times in the morning.
Right,
And all sorts of debauchery goes on.
But at least it wasn't Chariots.
Yeah, man.
650,000 followers. Who are the three you're most proud of?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
There must be a moment where you
Sharon
get the
Stone.
One. Whoa.
Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was like sick.
Yeah.
Ramsay on TikTok, I suppose, just because. Actually, my next door neighbour as well, Peaky Blinder, Joe Cole.
Really? Did
really?
Clapham?
Yeah.
Joe Cole lives in Clapham. That is wonderful to
know. I'm sure he wouldn't like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Does he come round? Have you cooked for him?
Does he know?
Yeah, I've cooked for him a couple of times. Okay. It's like, I think it was just because I was watching it so notoriously.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, shit.
So, did you like, how did you realise he was your neighbour? Did you like walk past him or?
We got told when we moved in, when we bought the place, that there was a Peaky Blinder living downstairs.
Oh my god. Oh, he's literally your neighbour.
And then just sort of kept wafting smells down for like 2 weeks and nearly came up and said hello.
Oh, that's amazing. With that many followers, I can imagine you also get some quite weird requests and messages. Like, what's the weirdest thing you've got?
Surprisingly not.
Really?
Yeah.
Never got anything?
Not mental.
Or is it all just quite boring being like, how do I get my custard to
set? My girlfriend's got worse than me.
Really?
Yeah. She asked someone... she was selling a pair of shoes. She got asked if they were worn. She was like, oh, you know, just like normal amount, sort of like nice to the response. And didn't realise that he actually wanted them like well worn.
Yeah. That's a scene.
So I think that's the weirdest thing I've...
Get more money for it though, I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. No skin off your nose, too.
I can't disclose whether we sold them or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've read that you were only 15 when you started working professionally, obviously doing your apprenticeship, whatever. What inspired you to sort of fall in love with the world of cooking and, you know, the culinary creations of your granny? Or?
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, that's a great story to tell, right? You know, and it did happen. You know, yeah, a lot of cooking with my nan. When I went over my nan's house, that was like a safe haven.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of 90s babies. Mum and dad's marriage necessarily didn't go as well. Yeah. As they'd hoped, I guess. So the nan, you know, nan and granddad's house, you know, they generally sort of had a big impact in a lot of people's lives, and they did in mine. And food was a big part of her day to day. She used to run a catering company.
What about your granny's best dish? Is there a smell which still reminds you of what smoked earlier?
Yeah, yeah. Walking in the front door on a Wednesday to kick your shoes off. Rarely kick my shoes off. Always got told off for that. But in the porch and a roast dinner, man, pork chop roast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday, mate. They had it twice a week. It was so good.
So pork chop with what?
Pork chop, Paxo stuffing. She did her roasties. She did her veg. She always forgot the peas for some reason. And the Yorkshire puddings. Yorkshire puddings were always left in the oven and the peas were always left on the stove. I don't know what was going on there, but that always happened.
Well, we're going to start with your drink sections, your go-to drinks. Obviously, this is your go-to podcast. We ask you your go-to drinks, food and locations.
Yes.
We're going to start with the go-to cocktail. As we do, Ben is going to bring out a surprise creation which he thinks you're going to enjoy.
Oh, sick.
That's the name
of
the game.
Alcoholic?
It is alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
You drink?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
Yeah. Little glass.
Yes, yeah. I do.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of creations. We had Ben's Vegan Kitchen. Do you know Ben? Ben Roebuck?
He's on. I've seen his stuff.
Yeah, you've seen his stuff.
So love his stuff,
we made him a vegan cocktail. And did we use the wrong whiskey? I can't remember.
Yeah, I used a really peaty whiskey.
Used like
whiskey.
This Irish whiskey, which is a bit peaty, but it was actually quite nice in the end.
Right, lovely.
But what are we making today?
I've got maraschino cherry. Oh, these aren't maraschino. These are glacé.
Yeah.
Okay, well, is he
for some reason, I never know what I sort of end up in a weird fever dream when I'm doing these.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm. I've made a rum punch, which I think you made. I don't know. I've read somewhere that you made rum punch part of going.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I got that.
But then I couldn't find any evidence of you having done that.
You got to pay for that now.
Oh, really? That's what. So I was like, why have I done this?
Anyway, no, yeah, it was. I did a Johnny cake and a rum punch. Johnny cake is like a Caribbean, not street food, but it's like, you know, like a roll / scone fry.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. Delicious, banging. Always used to get them on the dock on the way to the island. So yeah, I did a rum punch with that, and I actually got the recipe off of Giorgio. I can't remember his last name, but he's the head barman at the Connaught. The one who, did you see the guy, guy with the thing going on with all of this?
That's his recipe.
Yeah, we used to work together at the Manoir. He was like a commie waiter or something when we worked there. Oh. And I was like obviously getting shouted at all day. So
that's
we kind
so
of,
cool.
Well, we are going to come on to
this
them,
is not his recipe.
No. This is Ben's creation. Yeah. Well, let's see what it tastes like. And we're going to ask you what your go-to cocktail is. Just before we do.
I haven't got any ice.
Obviously nice. Now you're doing, you're influencing and you're private chefing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I see a lot of people now go subscribe to the newsletter. Is that how you're making your money in conversions? Carolina Glenn, all these kind of people I follow.
I think. Well,
is there like a mantra you have to learn on the road how to make money in these?
Mate, I don't like. I'm still confused as to what people want to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some videos I do, I'm like, yeah, man, like that's really helpful. Thank you so much.
Cheers,
mate. I'm not good.
So what's in here, quickly?
Cheers.
Rum.
Oh, nice.
Some fruit juices.
That's lovely.
And some two different versions of bitters.
That's really good.
Bitter orange bitters and an Angostura.
That's delicious, mate.
I think MasterChef professionals will be happy.
That's really good. That's
Marcus Wary would laugh me out of.
is that legit?
Yeah, it is.
Sorry, so carry on. So it's sort of a learning route.
Thank you, Chip.
Cheers, mate. Learning path.
So the videos, yeah, I'm thinking like, yeah, this will be good. Like, let's do this, or like, I like this, or whatever. And then it's just a complete stab in the dark. Like,
really?
Yeah, and it gets so confusing with like, when should you post?
Yeah. What's been the most successful thing you posted?
It seems to be big bits of meat.
Mm.
Just like roasted. That seems to be it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, or
so all the hard work for all the other like ideas you're doing.
Yeah, but I think you've got
roast
to do
the hunk
that.
Of meat.
It's almost like you've got to do the singles. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm saying all this stuff. I just think like that would be sick. Let's do that. And then people either like it or they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's and fascinating because you seem so like ordered, and it's like very clear what you're doing and when you're doing it.
Mm. But behind the scenes,
not what it's like behind the scenes, right?
Complete chaos.
Really?
Yeah, it's just on a whim, the whole thing, to be honest. And I think, like, people seeing my face on MasterChef obviously, like, helped with the, oh, that's that guy, yeah. follow. So I think that helped.
The thing is, it's not a given anymore, is it? Like, cause there's been so many MasterChefs.
Yeah,
you've exactly. really translated that into...
Well, I mean, I was acutely aware of that. Do you know what I mean?
What, the fact that it's not a given?
No, it's like 14 seasons.
Yeah.
How many MasterChefs?
Yeah.
How many do I know? Adam Handling.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, so that was definitely a thought going into it. But yeah, so we got that following, and you know, a lot of it is brand partnerships. You know, how many people watch your videos, we'll give you this much money.
Yeah.
And if you like the brand and it makes sense, then obviously that's something you can do.
Even if you don't like the brand, the money's good.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to like something about it.
Yeah.
Try to anyway.
Do you handle all of that?
I've got an agent, but we work with an agency, a girl called Jen, who's brilliant, and then Gabby does a lot of the behind the scenes stuff as well. She's right. like
so you're a
the
little
brain.
Team in it.
But was she a chef as well then?
She was. Yeah, we met on the fish section.
Really?
At Le Manoir. So that was
And obviously Le Manoir, do you guys all live in staff housing there or what?
Yeah, generally. Yeah. It's not like one staff house, there's like a few dotted around.
Because I remember reading Marco's book, right? Yeah. He worked there, didn't he?
Mm.
And them having like a football game, the sort of French versus the English and stuff like that. It sounds like an incredible my parents went there about 30 years ago and they still talk about it as one of the greatest meals.
It's an institution.
It's an absolute institution for sure. And it just churns out like a really, really good sort of solid quality of chef. A guy, Luke Selby's the executive chef there now. I spent a lot of time with him in the kitchen. He was my sous at Le Manoir. Actually, the only person who believed in me.
Really?
And, so...
Well, you had your doubters, really.
Mate, I was not allowed to do anything. I was allowed to weigh out recipes, and I was allowed to... I was allowed to weigh out recipes, get orders from the back kitchen, and then that was it. Wasn't allowed to cook.
Yeah.
Had to get everything checked, because basically I lied a couple of times and got caught, which is not good.
No. As then, in lied about you were cooking something and did this go in
head chef was like, did you weigh that? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And then he gets some scales out and weighs it, and I'm like...
You've done me. You've done me.
But that was early. That was early on. Learned that lesson early.
But you started working there at 17, right?
Yes. Yeah, 16 or 17. Yeah, I think it was 17. I went for a trial when I was 16. So they used to do a cheese board, which would be sent from like a backer area of the kitchen. So I'd go in and do the cheese board. But that was like my first introduction to a kitchen, first introduction to service.
Mm.
You know, oh, this amount of things need to go out at that time and it's going to that table. It was just like, before I just washed up and weighed things out and I thought it was... fucking El Bulli or something.
Yeah.
And then went there and just got absolutely like, you know, big reality check.
Yeah.
What's the best dish from that time?
They did like a foie gras, pan fried foie gras with Discovery Apple, which is like apples from their orchard, and then tamarind jus, which was it was banging. Foie gras dishes.
Do you ever get close to like sort of getting anything on the menu yourself? Like is that
canapé on once.
Okay, yeah.
But I was like what, senior CDP, junior sous when I left. So I remember being invited in when the restaurant was closed with another like four of like, not another four, but like with the three or four of the best guys. And one of them was doing a starter, one of them was doing a main course, one of them was doing something else. And they asked me to do a canapé. So I got a mushrooms on toast canapé on, which was like a mushroom duck sale, truffle, sep, thyme, chives, frozen, sliced, and then like a mushroom ketchup on a rye crouton. It's just like a little.
Sounds amazing.
Mushroom. It was all right, man. I was happy with it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I was like 18 or something.
Yeah,
like,
amazing.
Yeah, I got that on the menu for a couple of months. That was good.
That is incredible. Just before we get to go through your drinks and food sections, Ben, you often talk passionately about your memories of staff food.
Yeah.
What's the best staff food, the dish you had? Maybe at Rochelle Canteen when you were working there, or maybe at Le Coq?
The only staff food I can remember, I went and did a stage at a now closed restaurant called Viajante, which was in the town hall in Shoreditch.
Yeah, nice.
Or Bethnal Green. And I got the most savage food poisoning I've ever had.
Really?
From this staff food, yeah. And I'd never worked, like, I'm not like
what
you. Fundamentally, I guess it was like a fried rice kind of thing.
So
delicious,
so
all
times.
Sorts of good shit in there. I was so ill. So anyway, but yeah, which is probably not the best answer to your thing.
No, it is.
But I've only ever worked
one
in
you
like
can remember.
Very casual shit places.
Oh, which can you
not the sort of like background to you. And so like staff food.
What is staff food like?
Yeah.
I see it at Chez Bruce, it looks pretty good.
So I think because the amount of staff they had to feed at Le Manoir, it was okay. But it was very much a segregated thing that would go on in the back kitchen. And then they ended up hiring out a catering company to do
it. To do staff food?
Well, there's like 150 people to feed. So
They, you
That's
know what
mad.
I mean?
Yeah. So they hired chefs to cook
about-
chefs?
No, they hired the food. They hired the food in, and it comes in, and then there's a canteen especially for it.
What about Hyde? Was it like?
Hyde's bang. Hyde was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ledbury was delicious.
Proper.
Yeah, I got told off a lot about my star food at Ledbury. I once put, I did like this, it's like a Moroccan lamb tagine type thing, but I put, like, I just toasted the seeds whole, like all the spices and stuff, and there was like whole coriander seeds in there.
Man.
And the head chef just booted off, mate.
This guy
called Greg, he's a legend, to be fair. He taught me a lot, but he just went sick. I was like, do you think that's nice? And threw his whole plate in the bin.
Whoa!
Good.
Right, fine.
Chill out, Greg. Right.
Let's get your drinks though. Come on, go to cocktail. What is it?
Well, it is
You're out with Gabby.
It is a Negroni.
Yeah.
But I like it to be something else. But it is a Negroni.
Yeah.
Don't fight it. It's fine.
I'd like it to be like a spicy pineapple margarita.
Yeah.
No. Or this.
Do you know what I mean? Or that. Yeah, that's bang.
But it, okay, so just classic Negroni.
It's a Negroni. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from.
It is.
I think that's fine.
I think it's because you go to so many different places and it's very easy to like destroy a cocktail.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Sugar levels.
Agreed.
Like, balance of alcohol. Yeah. It's very, very easy. But Negroni generally.
Yeah, it's always. Even it's when it's bad, it's kind of good.
Yeah.
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 Even when it comes
too much gin in it.
It's all right.
Yeah.
What about your go-to hangover drink? You've been out all night. You're absolutely fucked the next morning.
Yeah.
What's your hangover drink?
And depends.
Also, we'll marry that with your hangover cure food-wise.
Yeah,
well.
Nice. It does depend. It depends if you're back on the horse or not.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going in for day two, just an ice cold bottle of like Heineken or something.
Really? Straight off the bat?
If you're like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no, you're getting back in the horse, definitely. But yeah. Like, no Bloody Mary,
no,
straight into a beer.
I think so.
Right, okay, I like that.
I think so. I think, yeah, but just got like the coldest beer you've ever had.
Yeah.
If not, I mean, I'd like to say Bloody Mary, but I rarely order them, to be honest. Probably something soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably like a Sprite, loads of sugar. Just a small packet of crisps.
So that's what you'd eat? If you're hungover, you just have a packet?
It's not what I want to eat.
Yeah, yeah, but that is what you generally do.
I basically got a pal, and he said that once. And I was like, just so, you know, when you, next day, like you're foggy, and you're confused, and then you eat too much, and you feel worse. And he's just like, just have a salt and vinegar, packet of salt and vinegar, and a Sprite, and drink them extremely slowly, and eat them extremely slowly.
Really nice.
And I was like...
And it works.
Yeah, and it's actually all right. I did get into like making sure that I'd have like... I mean, it was either... You know, 2 paracetamol, 2 ibuprofen, magnesium, some sort of electrolyte thing before I go to bed, and then try and drink as much water as I can.
Yeah.
Smoke 1,000 cigarettes, pass out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The recipe
works. Generally is fine, right?
Sort of works.
Talking about disastrous recipes for, you know, trying to stop a hangover or trying to create one, obviously you work to such fine places. Has there ever been any disasters? I mean, we heard once from Ben about just a guy having a whitey.
Yeah.
They had to, like, drag him out the kitchen. Oh, customers complaining. Like, can you think back and there was just one shocking night when nothing went right?
There was so it was at the Ledbury. And there was a morning we'd come in. We'd have one guy that comes in on the breakfast chef, which is basically, like, not breakfast. We didn't serve breakfast, but they'd get the kitchen open, they'd turn the stoves on, they'd open the thing, they'd get any deliveries away, do you know what I mean? That was from like 5:30 until 7:00, when the bulk of the people came in. And I came in one morning, it's a guy called Lorenzo. He's actually opened a place called Onise. So I walked in and Lorenzo had his chef white tied around his head like Rambo. And he's just like, the extraction, it's not working. it was 65 degrees
in the
basement kitchen at fucking 7:00 in the morning.
Jesus.
So then the head chef came in, changed the menu. We still did lunch, but we put the big green egg to like roast the meats and do the like the maitake mushrooms that we had on. We put it on the balcony. So we just had to run the stairs like every service.
My God.
And it was before service on clean down. We're all cleaning down, fucking boiling hot, and Lorenzo just fucking passes out.
Jeez.
Yeah, flat on his back, on the floor.
God,
like that.
What, heat exhaustion or just...
I don't know what happened, man.
He was not in good shape.
Yeah, he passed out, but everyone else just carried on cleaning down. So I like stepped over him, carried on doing the fucking stoves.
Fucking hell.
And then Yanni, this a guy who works in Hyde now, just picked up his legs. And I just remember scrubbing the stoves down and just like, where the fuck am I?
Dragged away.
Where am I? No, just to put the blood back in his
head. He was thinking of the... Yeah.
Yeah, I think he used to be military or something like that, so he knows like a thing or two.
Well, you went to the Ledbury after Le Manoir. How did that change your sort of perception on food?
Oh, mate, I think... Le Manoir's amazing, but it's a machine, man. But in amongst those rules, in a way, you can lose touch of food, temperature, you know, everything's got a process in the water bath for that long, and then, or sear it here and then put it in the rationale there, and when it comes up to there, then you put it here. Do you know what I mean? Like, it turns into a process. It's not cooking anymore. But I felt at the Ledbury it was very touch orientated. You know, they had the spike with the cork, and it was the bottom lip, and you know what I mean? That all those sort of intuitive sensory things that you do when you cook were really sort of put in there.
What was the best dish there?
Can I do two?
Yeah.
So there was this pumpkin soup, like Vacheron mousse, Delicia pumpkin and Violina pumpkin soup, which was like rich, like banging season, perfect. Brioche. And then there was a little bit of sourdough that had been coloured and had, I think it was truffle mayonnaise and then julienne truffle and a slice of lardo.
Oh.
And that was just like, here's your soup. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so
like,
cool.
Yeah, like sick, like mental. There was there's like a red leaf dish that's on there with pigeon. So it's like smoked beetroot puree, trevizio, radicchio, foie gras parfait, olive crumb, beetroot pieces, pickled rose petals, and it's basically like red. Ugh. Do you know what I mean? It's like a dish coming off of a colour, and then with you do like a little pigeon kebab on the side of like the heart, the offal, the mini fillet, and then it's ridiculous, mate.
It's serious.
Might be more constructed than the chicken rotisserie then.
Mate, that's what I'm saying. I feel
that was my best dish. That's my two favourite dishes. True. There. They're like,
that sounds amazing.
To eat or to
Just everything about
concept,
them.
Yeah, just like to cook.
Yeah, like taking a soup to that.
Yeah,
and then having a dish come out of a colour.
Yeah, brilliant.
Mm. I think that is a concept to think about, and then the actual flavour and what it was, and then how you cooked it, and how fresh everything.
Do you cook
was.
Like that at home ever or not?
Oh, nah.
Talking about more simple food, then let's go to your delivery order. Your go-to delivery order.
Ooh, I'd like to say it wasn't a Donald's. It's Big Tasty when they're on.
Oh, yeah.
Fried chicken selects.
Yeah.
Sweet curry sauce. Yeah. I don't like the chips.
No.
If I had the chips, the oven's got to be on, and then they've got
really,
to go.
You reheat. Back to life.
Yeah, you can't.
No, cultures.
Especially if it's a delivery.
Yeah.
But you're only about 2 minutes walk from the one on Clapham High Street, aren't you?
Yeah, let's not talk about walking too
much. Sorry.
Man's churning out content.
No, you're right, mate. I've got a lazy bone in me, which is weird considering what I've done. But there it is, there, and it's prevalent.
So it is a McDonald's.
Yeah, it is a Donald's, yeah, man.
That's fine.
Yeah, Big Tasty's sick, I think. Mm.
What about dish you cook the most midweek? I mean, obviously we go with the seasons. We're now sort of, you know, where are we now? Hopefully near spring, but we're not really.
Not quite.
I get stuck on a dish, and then I'll like think about it, and then I'll cook it, or like Gabs will cook it, and then until I've had it like how I imagine it, then I can't.
Oh, really? So I'm driving at like a sort of
I'm stuck on Caesar at the minute. Caesar salad.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's my favourite.
Yeah, it's banging. I'm gonna make one tonight. There's got someone coming over.
There's an Alistair Little cookbook.
Okay,
I think it's the best Caesar.
Yeah, wicked
dressing recipe.
That could be it.
It's unbelievable. I'll send you a picture.
Where are you start right now?
It silence my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Give you some peace.
Yeah.
But mentally, where are you up to now? Like, what are you thinking when you think Caesar?
Big leaves.
Yeah.
If I like iceberg, I think iceberg's banging.
Yeah.
Like even in a burger, I don't know. It's weird. Gabby doesn't think I'm mental for it, but yeah, iceberg, a couple of wedges of that, a couple of wedges of cos, just a classic dressing, mayonnaise base. You don't have to do the mayonnaise yourself. No. Do you know what I mean? Life's too short.
Life is too short.
Loads of croutons, not too big on the croutons. Roasted chicken legs, then picked down, or just the whole leg on there. Loads of sauce over the top. We haven't got them, and I won't eat them unless I'm in a restaurant because I have to pay for them. But there's these little white marinated anchovies.
Yeah.
Those over the top. Loads of Parmesan shaved over the top. Just a normal, nice, do you know what I mean?
But what about the dish you cook the most, like in the winter?
Ooh.
You and Ben have a psychological relationship with the Caesar salad, which is beautiful. But what do you cook? What do you cook the most?
I do a lot of bang average pizzas.
Would you make yourself?
Yeah, I've got a pizza oven out on the balcony.
Mm.
I do a lot of
what
like
have you got?
Just a like a little uni.
The wood one or the gas. One?
Yeah. And they're, you know, my dough is terrible. It's never the same.
Isn't it?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not really one for recipes. Yeah. I think I've been like confined by recipes for fucking years.
Yeah, you want to break out.
So I never And that's maybe that's the laziness coming out as well a little bit.
What about a three-course dinner? Now, obviously, you've got someone coming around tonight. You're making them a chicken Caesar.
Yes.
But if they were coming on a Saturday, it may be a bit more of an event than a... We're currently recording this midweek, yeah. I should say to all the listeners. If you're going to do a three-courser, we're in winter. Ben's coming around with his wife. They're bringing the kid, but the kid's not eating because it's only...
No, we'll put the kid to bed. Yeah.
Nice, like that.
But what are you going to make? Three-course meal.
Yeah.
So in the winter, probably a soup to start. Maybe even like a roasted tomato. I know that it's not like... Tomatoes are like summer things, but you get some good winter black ones. Garlic bread. Don't make the bread, but make the butter. Tomato soup, garlic bread, probably to start. I'd like to think it'd be some sort of stew, but that takes a long time.
Mm-hmm. Energy prices.
Yeah.
That's 11 grand.
So maybe even like a shoulder of lamb.
Oh.
Little tabbouleh. Mm. South birdie type thing. Yeah, but still like warmth for the lamb.
Yeah.
I do have an egg. I do frequent it every now and again.
Yeah.
So that might come out if I really like you. Do you know what I mean?
On a balcony.
Yeah, on the back balcony, yeah. And then dessert, a tatin. I always go tatin when I'm doing a dinner party. 100%, yeah.
Tart tatin,
so you feel? Apple tatin, yeah. So just in a pan, caramel at the bottom, vinegar and salt in your tatin caramels.
Really?
Yeah, apple vinegar and a little bit of salt. And then like either a... stick or a split vanilla pod just helps.
So is that the only liquid going in there?
No, sorry. So there's a caramel, but like
caramel. You've got into a caramel.
Yeah, not just vinegar and salt.
And loads of sugar.
Yeah. Well, it pretty much is. Yeah, that's with some butter and mustard into it. So yeah, it's a tatin and then some shortbread ice cream.
You can't beat it, can you? Really?
No. I think that's good, man. I think.
What about you working at home? You're sort of about to cook in the afternoon to create your content piece for that day or that week. You go, fuck it, I'm going to have a meal deal. What are you going to have? What's your meal deal combo? Your go-to meal deal combo?
BLT.
Yep.
Prawn cocktail crisps.
Yes.
If there was a lilt there and a lilt was on offer, I'd grab one. But they're like special occasion, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I'd like to think I'd get a lilt.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's probably a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What's the best meal you've had this year in a restaurant and where?
That's a good question. So at the, well, the end of last year, it doesn't really count, does it?
No, it does.
That's like fine.
It does. Yeah.
Calendar year.
Yeah. Just we'll give you like 18 months.
18.
Yeah.
Sick.
We'll give you like 10 years.
Yeah. So the guys at Ellison Street, not Ellison Street, Evelyn's Table. It's like the Blue Post pub, and the Evelyn's Table's downstairs. It used to be ran by a guy called Luke Zelby and his three brothers. And they did like a final meal, but they did like a last week menu. And it was just delicious, mate. Just ridiculous. It's like main course was like beef Rossini, but like you saw him do the foie gras there.
Yeah.
The beef was like aged dairy cow, finished over pine. Crouton was banging, pickled walnut puree. Mm. Like it was just delicious. So yeah, the last meal I had there was like very, proper. Very good. And I also had a anniversary meal at the Manoir with Gabby.
The house?
No, not on the house.
For fuck's sake.
Oh no.
You dedicated your life to that place.
Yeah, I know.
They look after you though.
Oh mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, then Luke Selby headhunts you to go work at Hyde. You get a mission star within the first 5 months, which is incredible. Then you decide, fuck this, actually. I'm going to go and work for Richard Branson on his private island.
Work is a loose term.
Yeah, yeah. How did that job come about?
So I think Richard used to own Le Manoir again in the early 80s. He had a relationship with RB. So there's always been kind of like a stream of chefs finishing up their time at Le Manoir and then going out there to work.
Right.
So like Gary, who was like my executive head chef when I was at Le Manoir, he went out there, his head chef went out there. A lot of the boys that I cooked with, we've got a little fucking motley crew, and a lot of those guys were out there while I was at the Ledbury. So I was getting screamed at and, you know, having to sit down wee in the toilet, and I'd go on Instagram and they'd be like just fucking partying, just, you know what I mean, going wild. So I had a lot of FOMO from that, and then Irma came, which completely blew the island to bits. Really devastating. They built back, and a lot of my friends either got made redundant or lost their jobs. One of my good mates, Matt, I basically just rolled straight into his grave. He got sacked and I was just like, hey.
So with your head chef over there, I mean, how many chefs are there?
So there's a few. It depends. I think there's more now than there was. It's basically ran like a event space.
Mm.
I think that's the best way to describe it. So people will come, they'll hire the whole island, They'll have breakfast and then they'll have lunch in that location and then dinner in that location, and it's this menu or it's that menu, and the menu's confirmed like 2 months ahead and the orders are done because it's obviously like a remote, island, but it's a pretty remote place to get good produce too. So all the orders are like 4 weeks ahead. So it's not like that cooking.
No, more like being like a yacht chef.
Yeah.
I know you're on an island.
Yeah, kind
of that mentality.
Yeah, I guess. I guess so, yeah. So, and that is good in a way, because if you've got a couple of good guys on, you can really push the limits of what's deemed as work.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you're cooking weeks in advance.
Yeah, exactly.
And, what
orders
do you do to switch off on the island? Do you just get pissed? And...
Yeah, so basically, so the island, I can't remember the exact acreage, but it's a pretty big place with a big hill in the middle, and then there's a couple of different locations for guests to be at. So let's say the guests are on one side of the island on Turtle Beach, let's say having a dinner. You've got two of you guys down there doing that.
Mm.
It's all staffed. They're there. You've got the whole of the beach area, the water sports, the tennis courts, the beach house. If you're trained, if you're like Zodi qualified, if you talk to the water sports guys, you can get on a boat, go anchor up somewhere, go snorkeling. Like, it's wild, mate. It's like paradise with no rules, and all the drinks free.
And are you living in a hotel room or what?
No, there's a staff village. So there's like a segregated.
But nice?
Yeah, it's all good.
It's like a joke.
Mate, it's ridiculous.
So were you there during COVID?
Yeah. I went over there and then COVID started. We came back just in time for second lockdown.
Oh, nice.
It was good.
Good timing.
Yeah, brilliant timing. So I recently went over there actually this Christmas to do a booking, a New Year's Eve party that they had. And I took a guy from, do you remember Rishu, that was open for a little bit just by the Ritz? I do these like cruffins.
Yeah,
Jamie Butler. So he's a guy who used to work at Mamba, and then another guy that's ex Moore Hall and ex Lever Madison Park, Louis. And he's like systems, great chef. Do you know what I mean? You know, past all that messing about larky. And I took him out there, and it was just fucking carnage, man. It was just complete carnage.
During COVID, were there any rules there or not?
No, because you locked down on an island. So yeah, I think after about a month or two, you could go off, but then you had to get like temperature records.
Was Richard there or not during COVID?
He was.
And
he was, yeah.
What did he like to eat of yours?
Shepherd's pie.
Really?
Yeah, he had porridge in the morning, then he'd have a roast, he'd have shepherd's pie. It'd basically have pretty much whatever was on the menu, just as long as there was some sort of potato element to it. Like, he's a simple guy, mate.
Loads of drink?
Not necessarily, no. No, I never saw like anything. He's a really good guy, man.
And then
it was really cool.
You came back straight into MasterChef Professionals 2021.
Yeah.
You made the last three.
Yeah.
What a journey that was. I mean, highlight of that whole time? Any regrets?
Yeah, steak and chips for the main course. Yeah, that was a bit arrogant, wasn't it?
Everyone's very magnanimous at the end, though, right?
Yeah.
Were you? You must be.
Just wanted it over, mate.
Oh, really? By that stage, you don't really care.
Yeah, no, I did care. I did care to say I care, but that's the only dish that I didn't do beforehand.
Really?
So, like on the weeks up to it, you'd like practice and like do your dish up and take it to the guy. I worked with another private chef at the time. I was working for a family in Oxford, and he's great. He's shit hot. Like. Yeah. Really, really talented. And he was like saying, do that as an emulsion, not a puree, and this and that. And we were working together sort of on it, you know, as you do when you're going into a competition with the people that are around you, just getting opinions. And it's the only dish I didn't do. I thought, steak and chips, pomfret, tarragon, see you later, job done. And I plated it, and then I did the thing, and then I put the chips down, and that was there. And then I spooned the thing on, I looked at it, and I was like, oh well.
Really?
I knew 100%. I put the spooner on, it was just like three things there. It was cool, but it wasn't like up to par with the other two dishes that I put up. And then Greg got it in front of him, it's just like, that looks beautiful. And I'm like, no it doesn't. But yeah,
does it sit around for a while, the food? Does it get quite cold, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes in some of the rounds. Yeah, I think the critics round is the only round, and the street food round.
Yeah.
So it's basically when other people are coming in to try it.
Yeah,
it's like staggered.
Yeah, yeah,
it's how it should be.
Yeah.
But on all the other rounds,
you could be waiting for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, the judges see you cook, they see what you're doing, they see the ingredients you're using, they see your methods. And sometimes, you know, when you're a chef for as much experience as they've got, you don't even need to taste the food.
No,
really.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Just
is it the right temperature? Has it got salt in it?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the stuff you can almost see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna
talking of plating up, Ben.
Oh, you want something to eat?
Yeah. Well, is there something just to show off? Because we're going to rattle through these final locations.
I was quite shook then. Mm.
What have you made for us, Ben?
What is it?
I've done it in tinfoil.
Nice. Okay.
I made these this morning.
Lovely.
Go on.
It's a Scotch egg.
Yeah. Nice.
I've done it from scratch. I've never done that before. Nice. But on your, like, you know, with all your content, that's really nice, things like, mate. Scotch eggs.
That's really nice.
I started doing it this morning. I've got a 5-month-old kid.
Have you followed a...
Is there fingerprints in it?
he was asleep.
Well, he's
not
in
there. I haven't done very well, but...
What's your name? That's the worst thing you can say in front of other people.
And I've just sweated in some tinfoil.
Most of the time, people don't even eat what I cook. Do you know what I mean? You just go, or...
So I'm going to cut one open. I brought a shiv.
It's banging, mate. Can I just eat it like that?
Yeah, well, I want to see what it's inside.
Okay, yeah,
first,
let's do that.
It might be raw.
I've got the angle. Lighting right.
My wife wouldn't let me do, like, lots of oil.
Banging, mate.
They're too bit.
You don't like it? You think so? Yeah, but, you know what I mean? Like, what year are we in?
I could go for a line about the fact that they're not meant to be
mate,
soft,
traditionally, you know? This is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Freddie, do you want to... Oh, it's not...
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm sorry.
There's a shank there for you.
I'm so embarrassed by the whole thing.
Well, that's great.
Love
it. But I did it so you could talk about your content and all that sort of stuff.
Thank you.
It was a segue.
It was for me.
Yeah.
It was, and I'm eating it.
It was really good. It tastes really good.
Actually, because you're always very sweet about it.
Mm. Did you really make these this morning?
I made it this morning, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's sweet, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's really good. As we eat these lovely Scotch eggs, you go to a weeknight restaurant, nothing fancy, but you keep going back.
Scotch egg. I could have brought a condiment, couldn't I?
It's bird and tight. Is that hot sauce still around?
You're going to work on the condiments going forth, Ben.
There you go, mate. I saw that. That little number earlier. No, is it ridiculous?
Just a classic. It's quite hot. It's not too bad.
Can I put it on tinfoil?
Yes.
Yeah.
For everyone to
so go on, tell us you go to a weeknight restaurant.
So it's a place called Bird and Tie in Clapham.
Mm-hmm.
Just chicken burgers. Like, really good Louisiana fried chicken. Delicious. Great sides. Yeah, just nice.
Just classic.
Just absolutely, yeah, banging every single time. It's good stuff.
Favourite place for a special supper?
Kerridge's Bar and Grill in the Corinthia.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it, mate. I just love it. Love the room. I love, like, you need a bit of a, you know what I mean? You need a bit of a wedge on the hip when you go there, if you want the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick from the rotisserie. You know, it all comes down in front of you. It's all good. Proper. Nick, the chef there, is an absolute legend. I know a guy who used to work there as well, who sort of introduced us to it. So we've got, like, I always feel like it's different when you're a chef going to places, or like an ex-chef going to places, than like a how you would normally go. But I think that's just good.
Yeah.
It's just a good place with good food.
Go-to pub?
Landor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Landor, just because it's close, big beer garden.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of ciggies out there.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't the where you both.
A bit of snooker.
Snooker,
doesn't it? Paul,
I can't remember.
Maybe. I don't know snooker anymore.
No, it's
great beer garden there.
Yeah,
TVs, heaters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Smoke all year round. That's all ridiculous. You really want in this age, isn't it?
Yeah.
Since 2008.
As soon as you have a beer, you have a cigarette.
Yeah.
It's a 100%. Disease, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I'm happy I have a drink. I can have a rolly off of this.
Yeah.
Where's the best place for pizza in town?
Sodo Pizza.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, Sodo Pizza, man. Yeah. My friend skates with the guy who owns it. Dan, he's an absolute legend. We went there, I think we went to his one in Shoreditch or Bethnal Green, that area, east.
East.
It's just all east, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that way, the shady area.
Yeah.
It's like the Elephant Graveyard in in Lion King. Yeah. Sorry, I've got something there. Yeah, Sodo Pizza, for sure. The way they make it, the care that goes into it, his fucking passion behind, you know, getting those pizzas out is, that's the one for sure.
What about Hidden Gem?
Well, I was thinking about this, and it's not that hidden, and Golden Dragon in Soho, because it just looks like it would be a generic sort of place that would be in Chinatown. I don't know what that means, but you know what I mean. Yeah. But it's actually bang, like paper tablecloths. Everything that comes out is brilliant. It's reasonably priced. You go there with a group of guys when you day drink.
Best dish to order there?
Chicken feet are good. There's these, like, I don't know what they're called, but they're like the dumplings that are like rolls.
Mm.
Mm.
They look horrible, but they're good.
Dream long weekend getaway.
So I haven't been there yet. Could I have to have been there?
No.
So there's this wilderness reserve. The people that do the wilderness festival in Oxford, they like have like a, it's a bit of like a foodie festival type thing, but you can, yeah, it's all good. Like it's well vibey. Lots of hills, lots of trees, lots of lakes. So that's all cool. And they do like a reserve where you can go, and they did one this year, and I think it was Tom Akins on the first night, and then Alex Dilling on the second night, and then Raymond Blanc on the third night.
Nice.
And it's ridiculous cash, and I'll probably never be able to afford it, but if I was to do something.
Surely you just get in the lineup.
Yeah.
Well, one day, hopefully.
Speak it into existence. Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Manifest it.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you want to get back into professional cooking ever again? Or not professional restaurants?
I might be going back up to the Caribbean for a little bit.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I might be going back out there. I think what we've grown at the minute and what we've got doesn't really need a lot from me, which seems weird. You know, an afternoon of filming and then
you can maybe crack on around.
Live cook along with the guys on the academy. It's
really? You know, so Gabby, in an afternoon, how many will you get done?
We can do about 3 videos in a day.
Really?
If we really push. Yeah. But it gets to video 2.
Yeah.
You've already got your lunch in front of you.
Do one at McDonald's.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Don't even walk there.
Yeah.
Well, mate, get out to the Caribbean. Why not? Go keep Richard M. company.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like what I would... It is professional kitchen in terms of their stainless steel there. But in terms of like, you know, like Michelin standard and pushing that stuff forward, I think that side of creativity is cool, to try and sort of have a foot in maybe a day or two a week at Hyde or something. I don't know. Connected with Jean-Philippe when I did MasterChef as well from the Dorchester, just to go and sort of like be amongst it.
Yeah.
Like it's like people talk about cooking because everyone can cook, right? Just like everyone can breathe.
Yeah.
And everyone can, do you know what I mean? Have their example of cooking. But when you go somewhere and it's their life, like it's just a completely different level. So to be, even to be around, you know, in an environment where people are churning, you know what I mean? Like constant, you know, the amount of seconds it takes to do something and then shaving that down each day and like the movements you have around the kitchen, the way you sort of dance.
Yeah.
Just to be around that really sparks something.
So you never, when you sort of went into MasterChef, there was never the intention to try and open your own place?
Not really.
No.
I don't think. I think...
Was it sort of as a change of direction rather than kind of...
I don't even think the social media thing was a part of it. I think it was just like, I worked here and then I worked here and then I worked there and now...
I'm going to do this?
No, now I'm like on Richard Branson's island.
Yeah.
And people say things, right? Which is a bit of a shallow reason to do stuff. But like people are like, oh, he's working here now and then he's working there now. And then come back from COVID, it's a second lockdown and you're just in a house that no one knows about and you can't talk about it because you signed an NDA. And it just felt a bit like, so I thought MasterChef might put me back on the trajectory. Right, I felt like I should be.
You should have been on.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, you've been absolutely wonderful. We want to finish with you quick for telling us the three courses you're going to save from, or the three items you're going to save from what you've mentioned today.
I think the Scotch egg from Kerridge's Bar and Grill.
Nice.
For the starter. Maybe a bird and tie chicken burger for main course, and then dessert tarte tan.
Always,
Aaron Milton, you've been an absolutely wonderful guest. Thank you so much for coming on, and giving me your time, and we wish you the best of luck wherever you may end up, whether that's Clapham North or back to the Caribbean.
Yeah, who knows?
We'll still be here if you want to find us in the cold studio in Vauxhall.
We'll link up. Yeah. We'll link up. For
Thank
sure,
you, Aaron. Mate.
Wicked.
Cheers.
Nice.